Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace. Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not hearing anything, Bridget. I'm just hearing me talking and Kimberly talking.
I hear music, though.
Yeah, I guess whoever in charge said, yeah, screw it. Everything's fine. Let's just go.
Okay, yes, let's go. I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm Kyle Rosendahl. It is Thursday. That means we've got some news to go over, some Make Me Smiles to share before we get y'all on your way. So we will dig right in. Tell you what, I'll go first, just in the sequence of events here, because I think that works better with the Make Me Smile sequencing. So I feel the need to make sure everybody understands what's going on with the whole Strategic Petroleum Reserve release that the president announced today, and which has sent oil prices down, you know, the U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate about 6% today. So it just to go over the details, it's going to be 1 million barrels a day for 180 days, starting as soon as the Strategic Petroleum Reserve can get its stuff together and get all that oil flowing, which is what I really want to point out. It's an article in Bloomberg which lays out some of the realities about the SPR that maybe not everybody is aware of. Okay, so first of all, it is, as I think we have said in Marketplace, it's the world's biggest emergency supply. Started after the Arab oil embargo of the 1970s, and it was designed, and this is important, to last 25 years. That's the lifespan that the equipment was designed for. We are now well beyond that. And what happens is that every time you use this oil, every time you draw down, because let's remember, it's not stored in tanks and accessible stuff above ground. It's in salt caves underground. So you pull oil out, you put oil in, you pull oil out, you put oil in. There is deterioration in the piping. There's deterioration in the physical structure of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It takes about 20 days to get oil to market from the SPR. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem because, you know, we want it today and it's going to be another 3 weeks. It's not all sunshine and light is number one. Number two is contextually, 1 million barrels a day is about 5% of what the United States uses, is about 1% of global oil demand on a daily basis. The amount of Russian oil that's currently now not getting to market is 3 million barrels a day. So we're not even making up for that. And I just need everybody to understand that this is a short-term semi-fix to a much longer-term problem. And that's my riff on oil for this Thursday. That's what I got.
Yes to all of that, but aren't several other countries also tapping into their strategic reserves? I feel like
this is a coordinated thing. You bet. It's a total of 60 million barrels, total 60 million barrels, obviously not on a daily basis. So look, it's going to fill some of the gap, but Russian oil is off the market. Iranian oil is still off the market. Venezuelan crude, which is the really, really good stuff, the delicious, light, sweet stuff. That's not fully on. So there are some challenges in global oil. And look, okay, I'm going to be a jerk here. The best possible thing to happen for the planet would be for everybody to let the market work. Truly. For everybody to make sure that we all know that oil is not sustainable as a source of energy and we should invest heavily in the renewables. But of course, we're not going to do that because politics and because we're human. I mean, I get it. But but we're bailing out a I'm going to totally mess up my metaphors. We're bailing out a sinking ship here. That's mm-hmm. an oil tanker that's got not enough crude in it. I don't even know. It's not a sustainable solution to a global problem. You know.
Okay, but thinking about how to say this, it's like, yes, politics are grim at the moment in terms of getting things done and doing things differently. But I also like don't want to just roll over and say none of this can be fixed, none of this can be addressed.
No,
because I remember all the conversations we had leading up to the, gosh, what is time? The 2020 election, I think, where talking about voter turnout. Right. And all of these people out working to increase voter turnout, despite a lot of active efforts at voter suppression. And what happened? We had drastically increased voter turnout in a pandemic because people took action. And so, yes, we are in a moment where lots of people just want cheaper gas prices. But it is an opportunity for people to say, okay, gas is expensive. Maybe this is the time to get the extra energy behind efforts to reduce consumption. Or this is the time to lobby for more public transit, like I was talking about yesterday. And so I just like, I hope that we don't live in a state where just because nothing feels like it's moving quickly enough in Washington, that we all just throw up our hands and say nothing can be done.
No, I don't. I completely agree. I don't think this is a Washington problem, right? This is a humanity mm-hmm. problem. It's a big oil problem. It's a corporate America problem. It's we want what we want when we want it in this country, and what we want and have wanted for years is to drive big cars to get 7 miles to the gallon and, you mm-hmm. know, all those kinds of things. I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Despair gets you nowhere, but I try to be firmly grounded in reality.
Yeah, but to your point about letting the market work, how much longer are people going to want those cars that get 7 miles to a gallon when
I don't know.
Gas prices are what they are?
I got a minivan anybody can have for cheap if they want to swap me an electric or something. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my news.
So I know that we usually look outside of the marketplace realm for stories for the news fixes, but I really have to encourage everyone, if you haven't already heard the piece that Amy Scott did today, to please go back and listen. It's amazing. It's about families, parents of transgender kids in Texas trying to decide whether they should stay or go, given the new laws and the risk of being referred to Child Protective Services for gender-affirming care, and what it costs both the families that leave financially and emotionally, and what it costs those who are left behind, and sort of the economic decision of whether you can afford to leave, whether you can afford to stay, you know, and amazing mm-hmm. piece by Amy Scott. Please go and listen to it. It really was. And the other story that I've been kind of sitting on since yesterday, because I just can't stop thinking about it, is more reporting from CBS and the Washington Post about... Why are you laughing,
Kai? It's amazing reporting from CBS and the Washington Post. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's incredible. So they're starting to get access to more and more of these documents that the January 6th committee has subpoenaed and are actually starting to get. And there is a gap in President Trump's phone log that lasts 7 hours and 37 minutes, which just so happens to include the period when the riots were happening and the assault mm-hmm. on the Capitol happened. And for some context, Nixon's gap was something like, what was it, 17 minutes?
It was 18 minutes, Rosemary Woods. Yeah.
18 minutes, right? And this was a huge scandal that they hadn't, you know, maintained the records according to the presidential requirements and all of the laws that you're supposed to keep track of all these things. 17-minute gap. huge scandal, right? Because what could have possibly happened in those 17 minutes? We're talking about more than 7 hours. And according to some reporting from The Guardian, at least one call from the official White House phone happened during that time. So some of these calls could have potentially happened on cell phones or on burner phones that have been destroyed. But some of these calls, at least one, according to The Guardian, happened on official White House lines and should have been documented. So this is ongoing. This is important information that we need to know to figure out what went down. And it's important to know how that all went down and who was doing what and who was talking to whom and ultimately who's responsible. So
yeah,
keep following that reporting from CBS and The Washington Post. It's really astonishing.
It's just amazeballs. Amazeballs. Anyway, shall we? Let's.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to go first or am I going to go first?
No. It's okay. You go ahead.
Okay. All right. So here's mine. It sort of flows out of the entire Trump episodes of late. Something like a week or so ago, President Trump filed a lawsuit against like 50 or so people, groups, take your pick, politicians, accusing them of, and here's the quote from the lawsuit, weaving false narratives, presenting injurious falsehoods, theft of trade secrets, conspiracy to commit racketeering. That's important. That'll come up in a minute. Hillary Clinton was in this lawsuit. It was just a huge bucket full of just stuff. Daily Beast wrote about it today, and they quoted a guy by the name of Ken White, who I happen to know in real life. He's a friend of mine. But he's also very active on Twitter, and he's funny. He's super, super funny. And so he tweeted today his quote in that article, in the Daily Beast article about this lawsuit. And here's what it said. Ken White, a First Amendment lawyer and former federal prosecutor, had an even rougher take on the twice impeached former president's newest vengeful lawsuit. Quote, Trump's RICO complaint is freakishly unprofessional and legally bumptious. Rather than a serious effort by serious lawyers, it's a performative caper by injudiciously barred clowns, White said on Tuesday. This sort of fundraising and rabble-rousing by litigation is unethical and bad for the legal system. I follow Ken. He's at Popat on Twitter. He's a good guy, just completely hysterical. And I just, you know, freakishly unprofessional and legally bumptious. I just love that one. Anyway, that's it. That's my make.
Vocabulary in there. Wow. Yeah, that was great.
He's good that way. Yeah. I
bet he's great at Wordle.
he probably is. I'll ask him.
Okay. Mine just tickled me so much. So, on Twitter, since we're talking about people who are apparently really good at Twitter, Sarah Wharf, who is a law professor at the University of North Carolina, tweeted this amazing thread. And it starts with, "Friends, I gotta tell you about what our students did. Buckle up. It's amazing." So basically, these students have this major paper or a motion memo due that's worth 65% of their grade, and they only have 10 days to work on it, right? Huge portion of their grade, this big legal document that they have to write. And however, this weekend, there's this big NCAA matchup between UNC and Duke. And so one of the students, and I'm going to read from her tweet, drafted a motion for extension of time and filed it with their professor. She says, it's beautifully formatted, cited the syllabus and other sources, and it's just generally delightful. They filed a legal motion to their professors to have their deadline extended. And the professors all got together and they got an amicus brief from somebody else. Wow. As to why that deadline should be extended. And then all the professors got together and they granted it in like a formal legal document. And all of this is just lovely. Somebody else did a TikTok about it. And I don't watch basketball like that, but I was very entertained by this thread. And The creativity of these students in getting their deadline extended
totally,
is fun.
Totally. That's why they should get the deadline extended, for the creativity. Forget the ball game.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And that's all the stuff for today. We'll be back tomorrow for Economics on Tap. I believe Kai will be having a beer and we'll be live streaming
YouTube. No, I won't be here. I'm off.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yes.
I hope you have a beer wherever you are.
I will.
Okay. It'll be live streaming on YouTube, and that's at 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern time. And it'll be a great time, had by those who are here, not Guy.
It will be. If you've got something you need to say to us or a question you need to ask us, you know how to do that. Email or a voice memo at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART.
I'm informed that it's going to be Amy, which is great because I just talked about her. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera with help from Mark A. Green, and today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry.
Bridget Bodner is our senior producer. The director of On Demand is Donna Tam. And there you go.
Yeah. The amicus brief even has, like, pictures.
Oh, God. That's a
so
hoot.
Fun.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.